Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 9 to 14. Philippians chapter 4, verses 9 to 14. And the subject of today's message is, do like Paul. Do like Paul. Let's read the text. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, or not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, in this text here, we find some great things, but basically we see in the first verse there, verse 9 of Philippians chapter 4, that Paul tells them, I've taught you some things that you've learned. I've given you some things that you've received. I've told you some things that you've heard, and you've seen some things in me by example, and I want you to do all of those things. The things you learned, the things you received, the things you heard, the things you've seen, I want you to do those things. And don't worry about it, the God of peace shall be with you. Now, certainly from the doctrinal standpoint, we've got to go all the way through every letter that Paul wrote to see all the things that we've learned, received, heard, and seen in Paul. And obviously, that's been the subject matter of our lessons here for the last several weeks, because we started out in Galatians and now we're in Philippians and we're studying the doctrine. But aside just from the doctrinal stuff, we've also got some very practical things that we've learned, received, heard, and seen in Paul's life. And we need to do those things. And in verses 10 to 14, there are some very practical things here that we need to do that we get from Paul. Now, don't worry about it. Some people get all upset when they see you following a man. They'll criticize you. They don't like it. They don't like it. They're not happy. They resent it when you're happy with your pastor and your pastor is a man of conviction and he wants you to follow him in those areas where he's got those convictions. They say you're just following a man and they resent that. Well, Paul said it's okay to do that in those areas that you've learned, received, heard, and seen in me, as long as the man's on the right road. Now, you've got a Bible. Hopefully you read it. And that Bible is the authority in your life, unless you believe that you can go to any version to do anything you want to with the Word of God, then you're the authority. But aside from that, if you believe that there's a Bible that is God's words, that's the authority in your life. And I certainly believe that about the King James Bible. That is the authority in my life. Wherever I'm in line with the book, I'm in line with God. And wherever I'm out of line with the book, I'm out of line with God. So it's safe for you to follow a man who's right with God in the book. And hey, what if he's only right in 90% of it and he strays off in 10% of his life? Well, don't follow him down those places. I mean, some people get so narrow-minded they're looking for somebody that's 100%, and God knows we'd all love to be 100%, but we are sinners. We don't flaunt that in your face, but certainly wherever I've got an area in my life that is a sin that you see in my life, don't follow that. But if the preaching and teaching is edifying you and strengthening you, like Paul said to the people, he said, you can follow that. You're all right there. You're all right there. Now, we're Pauline in our beliefs in Christianity. We go along with what Paul said. You know something? I had a fellow come to the church the other day. He said he was one of the 144,000 and even had that confirmed to him. Sitting in a restaurant one day, somebody came to offer him some money. He said, I know who you are. You're one of the 144,000. Well, I thought I'd just check the guy out. You never know. I said to him, well, then you must be a virgin. You've probably never had sex with a woman. Well, I'll tell you what, you've never heard a longer dissertation. The man gave a long answer. You know what happens in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The answer was either yes, I have, or no, I haven't. He didn't answer it that way because he knows that the qualifications to be one of the 144,000 is you can't be defiled with women. They are Jewish, they're male, and they're virgins. Well, You know how long our conversation lasted. But he told me, he said, I don't like Paul. I go along with what Jesus said in the gospel, period. Paul said, don't worry about it. If you do what I ask you to do, the God of peace shall be with you. God was backing him in the deal. Why? Because he preached grace, and this man wanted to work for his salvation. Now, concerning what Paul had taught them, what did Paul do in verses 10 to 14 that are characteristics that we should follow in addition to his doctrine that we know we need to follow, the practical stuff? What do we need to follow? What are those things that we need to do? Well, the first thing that we that should be characteristic of our Christianity, that's characteristic of Paul's Christianity, is he was happy. Look at verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. Well, there was a long period of time that they weren't sending him any help. You know what he said? I rejoice in the Lord greatly. It's a happy Christian. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christianity today? Christians aren't happy, and we should be the happiest people in the world. Why? We've got all the promises. Well, we've got the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's cleansed us from our sins. We're washed, we're sanctified, we're justified. We got a job to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have fellowship with other Christians who love us and love God. We can have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, fellowship with God Almighty, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We've got a home in heaven. We've got the promise of golden streets. We've got the promise of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ if we serve Christ well. We have the assurance of our salvation. We've got a great promise from God. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We've got prayer promises. We've got life promises. We've got strength promises. We've got trust promises. We have faith promises. We've got all kinds of things that God gives us. We ought to be the most content, most happy, most joyous people in the world. And yet, so many times Christians don't rejoice. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, Sam Jones said, the devil can do more good for his cause by hanging a sad face on a Christian than he can by hanging a case of whiskey on the steeple. I believe that. Christians, we ought to be the happiest, most rejoicing people in the Lord. We have a reason to rejoice. Everything's been taken care of. God paid the price. It came to you free of charge. Jesus Christ, who was at enmity with us, we were at enmity with him before we were reconciled to him by the new birth, is now our friend, our best friend. And all that middle wall has been broken down. We're happy because we have prophecy and we know what the outcome is. We win. We win. Like somebody said, what is the book of Revelation about? And another fellow said, Jesus gonna win. Well, I tell you what, that sums it up. We're the conquerors. We're the victors. We've already done right in Christ. Rejoicing, and Paul was a rejoicing Christian. He was a happy Christian. That ought to be the characteristic of every God-fearing, God-saved man on the face of the earth. Unfortunately, it's not. You get around Christians, and Christians are some of the most complaining, bitter, upset, angry people you've ever met in your life. It ought not to be so. Paul said, you learned that. You didn't learn that from me. You received that. You didn't receive that from me. He said, you heard that, but you didn't hear that from me. You've seen it in me, but he said, you've never seen it in me. I don't have a long face. I'm rejoicing. Rejoice, brethren. Rejoice. You got it made in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you some other characteristic of Paul that we need to do. Do like Paul. What is that? Be gracious. He was gracious. Look what he says again in verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Well, how does he know they lacked opportunity? Might have been they just didn't like it and gave up on him. Let me tell you something. Paul would have been a hard man to support all the way along, and you know that. He was rude in his presence. He was rude in his speech. Very hard when he came down on you about doctrinal matters. I'm telling you, he told the church over there in Corinth when they had a fellow that was messing up with his father's wife, he said, we're going to turn that dude over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, that's tough, I'll tell you. But you know something? He was a very gracious man, full of grace. Those Philippians might have quit sending him support for a period of time because they lost their confidence in him. You don't ever know. Might be that while he was in trial there with Caesar, because he said at my first answer, no man stood with me. They may have said, we better withhold support for a while till we see how the matter turns out. And then after a while, they decide, you know, oh, Paul, he's first class. I think we'll help him out. You know what Paul said? Wherein you also were careful, but you lacked opportunity. He just put it off like there was no big deal. He said, I know you would have helped me if you could, but you probably didn't. You probably couldn't. Probably had other things you had to take care of. Boy, what a gracious man. What a gracious man. You know, I've got friends of mine that are just like that, and all of us Christians ought to be just like that. We ought to be in a place sometimes where our friends, when they kind of drop out on us, because it'll happen from time to time, that we don't get all upset and all concerned and all bitter and all angry and all mad about that kind of thing. We ought to be gracious with them. I have friends of mine that they've grown irritated with me. I have friends of mine that are they got tired of me. And there were things about me they didn't like. You've listened to me preach. That wouldn't be hard to do. Amen. They found things about me they wanted to criticize. You know what? Human nature can get in the way of a good Christian fellowship sometimes. It really can. And I don't blame them for that. They just got into a place where they thought their way of doing things was better than mine. Hey, you're going to bump into that all of your life. You know what, do? Be gracious. Be gracious. Be understanding. Recognize that goes with the territory. I still love them in the Lord. I really do. Pray for them. Friends of mine, I still consider them friends. It can be tough at times. I'm not trying to tell you to go overboard and all that kind of stuff. It can be tough at times, but let me tell you something. Be gracious. Maybe they lacked opportunity. Maybe they were under a lot of pressure from another avenue that you don't know anything about, they'll never tell you about, and maybe you ought to just be more gracious with them and say, hey, I ain't going to worry about this. I ain't going to worry about this. God's extended his grace to me. I'll extend my grace to them. Look, today people are so easily offended. And you know something? The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Don't get offended. Some people are so easily provoked today. And Paul said about charity, charity is not easily provoked. So follow after charity. Follow what Paul said. Be gracious like Paul, and don't worry about it. There were a lot of Christians that turned their backs on Paul. And hey, he never gave them too much trouble about it. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. We know what the situation was, but he didn't go tattletale on Demas to the rest of the world. Hey, there are a lot of Christians that turn back to the world these days. That's very unfortunate. Be gracious. They may decide they're going to turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ one of these days. They'd like to know they have you for a friend. They need friends. Everybody does. All right. Another characteristic of old Paul, not only was he happy, not only was he gracious, but he was content. Woo, boy, that's steep. Look at verse 11. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want. Hey, he didn't tell them, send me that money. It's not one of those deals. He says they're going to take us off the air if you quit supporting us. It wasn't one of those deals. Give us the call letters of the station from which you're writing so we could evaluate which the big stations were and which the small stations were. So if we get into a budget crunch, we can cut off the little guys. It wasn't like that. He said, I don't want anything. Not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He was content. He was content. Whatever state I am therewith to be content. Even in affliction. When he finished his verse 14, he said, you did communicate with my affliction. He didn't bother with that. Man, the old guy got beat up, you know, shipwrecked, starved out, all that other kind of stuff. Had a lot of people that were trying to kill him. Hey, he was perfectly happy. It didn't make any difference to him. Let me tell you something. He had great gain according to what he told Timothy. Look over here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Look what he said. Godliness, you know what that is. Your life is patterned after God and looks like God when you live it. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Woo! I'm telling you, there you go now. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, our society is pretty much set up today to keep you discontented. I mean, you're always going to have, I don't care what day it is you go through, you're always going to have somebody that's going to, you're going to get upset with, or at least once a week, if not every day. You're going to get hacked, just to put it plain. You're going to come up short on your bills pretty often. It's going to come around from time to time. It's going to get a little bit tough. Food's going to be a little bit cold. You know all the things. Hey, and it's so easy to be discontented. Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what? Hebrews puts it another way. And I love this verse. I love it and I hate it. When I want to be discontented, I don't like this verse. But when I'm content, I like this verse. Because it's reassuring. Now watch what he says. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Wow, that is tremendous. In other words, God said the greatest source of your contentment is the fact that I have promised you, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you can count on me from the very start to the very finish. I will not leave thee, neither will I forsake thee. Never. And you be content with that. Hey, that's big, man. That is super big. That's great. You know, this world is designed to keep you discontented. You got a perfectly good running car that's got 70,000 miles on it. They flip on a TV advertisement up there and show you a brand new car that's got all these bells and whistles and all this stuff and 0% down, 0% interest, 60 months, buy this car. You get back in the car and all of a sudden, you know what? You're not happy with it anymore. You think you need that new car. You don't need that new car. Hey, man, when was the last time you ever went and tried on clothes? I think the last time I went was about 5 years ago. I hate to shop. I don't shop. I buy. Go in, there it is, put it on. I don't like to do all that stuff. And consequently, I don't. But anyway, I went to this clothing store about 5 years ago because I needed some suits. I mean, everything was just worn out. And it's not that God didn't provide. I just hate to go. And I was just worn out, so I decided I had to go do that. Man, they've got the lighting in there and the smell in there and the creases in the pants and all that stuff just so that when you come in there with your wrinkled khakis and your, you know, faded shirt and your belt that, you know, how you buckle your belt and it leaves that indention right there because you've buckled it in the same spot. Or maybe you're one of those guys that has to buckle it in two spots, one before you eat and one after you eat. Anyway, it's got an indention there, so when you hang it up, the belt's crooked. You know, it's got that little kink in it. Okay, from the buckle? All right. You go in there, you got all that kind of clothes on, and your shoes are kind of scuffed up, right? You go in there, try on a pair of pants. That's all you wanted to buy, just a pair of pants. You stand up there with your kind of faded shirt and your funky-looking belt and your unpolished shoes, and you stand under the lighting the way they've got it in front of three mirrors, and you know what you want? You're discontented. You want new shoes, new socks, new underwear. I mean, overhaul, boy. New shirt, everything. New tie, new hairdo, new face, new body. You want the whole thing. You're not happy with any of it. And if the salesman's any good, he's going to sit there and try to sell you all of that stuff before you go. That's the way it's figured. That's the way it's lighted. It's to make you feel like you're discontented. Paul says, that's why God had to get on us and tell us, say, look, if you got clothes, if you got food, you're happy. Be happy with that. So he was content. Now, we need to be content, man. We don't need to get sucked into this world's philosophy of trying to make us discontent about everything. Be content. Now watch this. He was also resolute in verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how both to be abased, like what? He said, everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Hungry, suffer need, abased. He was resolute. He didn't let any of those things throw him off. You know what? He did not depend upon money for success. He depended only on God. His ministry was not limited by what he didn't have. He was a man of faith, and if God had decided that being without food, being without water, being without clothes, being without shelter was what he needed at the time, Paul was resolved that, bless God, God knew more about what he needed than he did, and he wasn't going to quit, and he wasn't going to complain, and he wasn't going to stop, no matter if he had poverty. He was tenacious, he was uncomplaining, he was steadfast, and he recognized that when God abased him like that, that led to humility. Humility led to utter dependence upon God, and utter dependence upon God led to his exaltation after his death. Paul said, I am not going to worry about it. The fact that I don't have anything, I'm hungry, so what? I suffer need, so what? I'm abased, I do not care, I'm happy, I'm content, I'm resolute, I will not stop. The man was a man of faith, buddy. That man was not going to stop just because he had a little need. And he said, I know how to be abased. He said, I have learned whatsoever state I'm in. He said, I am instructed. Hey, buddy, he didn't come equipped like that. He had to learn it. So don't beat yourself up too bad if you've lost a little bit of your resolve over time because the circumstances right now are not as good as they were. Don't trouble yourself too much. Let me say this. Let me just encourage you. Just do like Paul did. Just do like Paul did. Be resolute. Let me tell you something. God knows that if you're suffering need right now, you need that. You need that. And he's teaching you something. Paul had to learn it. Paul had to be instructed in it. Paul had to know it. He had to learn how that thing was done. So you just take it. You just take it. God's teaching you something right now, and you resolve to stay steadfast as a man or woman of faith. You are going to get through it, and God Almighty will have taught you, like he taught Paul, how to do it, how to be abased. So don't beat yourself up when you, Paul, I'm sure early on probably had a few problems with it himself, but he learned. You can learn it. So do it, just like Paul did. Something else, he was moderate. He said, I've also learned how to abound. I know how to abound. I've been instructed on being full and abounding. I know just how to do that. And it didn't lose his contentment when he had that. He was moderate. You see, these are the great things about Paul. He was happy. He was gracious. He was content. He was resolute. He was moderate. And you and I need to do that. He was moderate. There are times, bless God, when God loads you up. All of a sudden you go to the mailbox and there's money there you did not expect. Somebody lays a little cash on you you did not expect. He was moderate. He knew how to handle the abundance. Talking to some friends the other day, sad thing. They've been trying to help out some family members. Guy went out, got a job, got a big kind of a bonus or a big check or whatever. Went out, upgraded his wife's wedding ring, got a few new nice things. You think he'd take care of the bills? No. You know what the problem was? Hey, I'm not browbeating the guy. I'm just telling you how it is. You know what the problem was? The problem was very simply the fella had never been instructed on what to do when he abounded. Need to pay the bills first. Don't need to go out high rolling having a big time. You got to learn that moderation. And Paul was moderate. Paul was moderate. You know, even when Paul had extra money, he didn't say, "Ooh, this way I can save up. I don't have to do some tents next month." You know what he did? He learned by having a little extra money that when he worked with his hands, he had the thing that was good and that he had extra to give to him that needeth. That's what he learned. He could give to him that needeth. Isn't that a great and wonderful thing? Paul was a cheerful giver. That's why he instructed the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So wonderful. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, God loveth a cheerful giver. Well, you're never going to know what it is to be a cheerful giver if you don't know what it is to be moderate with your abundance. There are times when God lays a little extra on you just to see what you were going to do with it. That's why Paul said, I had to learn it. I had to know how to do it. So don't browbeat yourself too much. If you went out and bought yourself something new that you finally had some buyer's remorse about later when you said you wish you'd done something for God with it, learn from that experience and the next time be moderate so that when you do have an opportunity to do something for a Christian brother, sister, church, missionary, whatever, you'll look at that thing and say, I'm going to be a cheerful giver to God this time. I'm not going to spend the money on myself. You're learning. So do like Paul. Three more things. I'm enjoying this so much, I just want to take each point and run it. But for your sakes, we need to deal with the other three points as well. Verse 13, Paul was confident. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things. Woo, you talk about confident. You can't beat a man that's got that kind of confidence. Don't you feel like you've been knocked down by the devil sometimes, knocked down by brothers and sisters in Christ sometimes, knocked down by the preacher sometimes, knocked down by your enemy sometimes? You better believe it. We all experience that in life. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He didn't get fat and quit his dependence upon God. He had no confidence in the flesh. That's what he said in Philippians 3:3. And have no confidence in the flesh. He didn't bother with that stuff. Oh, his confidence was in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went all the way to the death of the cross, which is the greatest victory that any man has ever won on the face of this earth. Came out of that grave with the resurrection power, ascended into heaven in the clouds. Paul said, if Jesus Christ can do that, and Jesus Christ lives inside of me, bless God, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And you can do it. You can do it. Do like Paul and establish that confidence. Be confident. And then Paul was kind in verse 14. He said, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Well done. Oh, he was a kind man. That's why he could write with good conscience in Ephesians. He said, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He was a kind man. Sure, he had to get on them from time to time, but he said, you've done well. Well done. You know something? We lose a little bit of our kindness some days when we don't go around looking for ways to edify, strengthen, and encourage other saints who have done us good deeds along the way. It's kind to sit down and write a thank you note to somebody that's helped you out. It's kind to take them out for a meal. It's kind. It's kind to let them know, I appreciate what you've done for me. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your concern. I appreciate your loving kindness. I appreciate you. Paul was a kind man, and we need to be kind. And then something else, he was tough. He said, you've communicated with me in my affliction. Verse 14. you did communicate with my affliction. He was tough. He took all this stuff with the stripes, the beatings, the stonings, the shipwrecks, the hunger, the thirst, the perils, being forsaken by his friends, being forsaken by his enemies. Boy, I'm telling you something, old Paul was tough. We need to be like Paul. We need to do like Paul, because Paul could take a beating. He went through the affliction. Sometimes we'll go along like that and everything's going rosy. Boy, we're all excited. We get a flu bug. We get 103-degree temperature. We lose a day of work. We're laid up in bed, and all of a sudden the whole world is in despair. You ever been like that? I'm a horrible patient. I hate to lay in bed sick. Paul was sick, and he was tough, and he didn't despair, and he didn't complain, and he didn't fuss. He just took it. We need to learn to be like that. Paul said, listen to me, he says in verse 9, I'm going to give you some practical theology today. He said, you've learned some things, you've received some things, you've heard some things, you've seen some things in me. I want you to do all those things. All right, then what are you going to do? Do like Paul. Be happy. Be happy. Be gracious. Be gracious with people that offend you. Be gracious with people that provoke you. Don't cave. Be content. Be content. You got Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. You got everything you need from here to eternity. You don't have Jesus Christ, you need him, you better get saved. Be resolute. Even in poverty, God's taking care of you. Be moderate. In abundance, don't let it go to your head or your back pocket or your heart. Be confident, because your confidence is in Jesus Christ. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. Be kind. Be kind. You tell those folks that have helped you out, well done, we appreciate it. And be tough. Affliction is a part of life. Paul took it, and so can you, because the same grace that was in Paul is in you. The same Holy Spirit that was in Paul is in you. The same Jesus Christ that was in Paul is in you, if you've trusted him as your Savior. The same Holy Spirit that was in Paul is in you. The same book that it was in Paul is in you, if you believe God's words. Be tough. Be kind. Be confident. Be moderate, be resolute, be content, be gracious, be happy. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.